Well, when we were thinking about this class today, I have to say the ideas that came surprised me, and it went in a direction that I hadn't thought about. But it's so important what I'd like to, I hope I can convey it, and I hope I can share it with the clarity and inspiration that it came to me. I want to start by reading two brief passages from the autobiography. This is the master's original version, obviously. And this is from the very, very last page. So this is the last page Master wrote when he was completing the autobiography of a yogi, 1946, when many of us were born that year. The book was published and we said, okay, we're coming. Master says, "Far into the night, my dear friend, Dr. Lewis, the first Kriya yogi in America, discussed with me the need for world colonies founded on a spiritual basis, the ills attributed to an anthropomorphic abstraction called society may be laid more realistically at the door of every man. Utopia must spring in the private bosom before it can flower in civic virtue. Man is a soul, not an institution. His inner reforms alone can lend permanence to outer ones. By stress on spiritual values, self-realization, a colony exemplifying world brotherhood is empowered to send inspiring vibrations far beyond its locale." And then one brief sentence from the chapter, "I Joined the Swami Order." "To fulfill one's earthly responsibilities is indeed the higher path, provided the yogi, maintaining a mental uninvolvement with egotistical desires, plays his part as a willing instrument of God." When I, having come back, you all know that Jyotish and I have been away, but coming back now to the community, and soon coming back permanently to the community, I began realizing more and more what it is we have here and what Master has given us and how important in our spiritual life the community life is, and how even more significant, how important to the world the Ananda communities are. And just as we read these two passages, Master closing his autobiography, it's the end of World War II, the bomb had been recently dropped, the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, and this time of tremendous upheaval on a physical, social, moral, economic level. And Master saying, world brotherhood colonies are the answer to society's ills. And then he says earlier, reiterating that one sentence, that for the yogi to fulfill his earthly responsibilities with non-attachment is the highest path. And so here we are at this point in time, and Master has given us this incredible opportunity, both for ourselves and for the world, to live this life. And I began to realize that the community is a metaphor for being in tune with Master. As we tune in to creating this vision that Master had to change the world, that's how his consciousness is being channeled down into this world. And I thought it remarkable when the songs that David chose to sing, have the choir sing and the children sing, "A New Tomorrow," and channels, "Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything." Open these channels, and that's us, it's nature, it's the trees, it's the plants. Open these channels that the world once more may sing. And so I began to feel like not driving to the market or walking to the mailroom or coming to the expanding light, but moving in a sea of consciousness that's divine, that's master. You know, many years ago, Ophelia Sanchez, Irene's mother, was visiting here. She doesn't speak much English, and I've told the story many times, but it's something that I carry in my heart as a beacon of inspiration, that she was walking, went for a walk in a meadow, and then she was very late coming back, and Irene started to get worried. And finally she came back, and she couldn't speak, and Irene was concerned that she had had a stroke, and she said, "Mama, let me call a doctor." And all she could say was, "No doctor, no doctor." And Irene said, I just sat at her feet. She was sitting in a chair. And she said, she was my mother. But at the same time, I felt I was sitting in the presence of a saint, of Divine Mother. And after a few hours, she started to be able to speak. And she said, I saw Yogananda. And Ophelia is a devout Catholic. She's not a follower of this path. And Irene said, what do you mean, Mama? And she said, I saw him in the meadow and we talked. And she said, well, what, you don't speak English. And how? And she said, I don't know, we just talked. And what did you talk about? Well, I asked him about the family and children and problems we were having. And then finally I said, Ophelia said to Master in this vision, do you come here often? And he said, oh, I'm here all the time. And he's here all the time, but we're so very busy, aren't we? That we don't take time to stand back and say, the wind is Master's breath. The flowers are Master's joy. The vegetables are Master's sustenance. My friends are Master's love coming to me. And to see past the form of this community, to realize that deepening our relationship with Master is to see him in every aspect of our community life. And that's why these communities are important. It's not that there'll be innovative architecture or agriculture or technology. These are fine, they're creative expressions. But they're just springing from inspiration of wanting to expand consciousness into this world in different practical ways. But if we think, I began thinking, well, what are the qualities of our community that helps us go deeper in Master's, in our relationship with Master? Well, the first is the underlying cooperation and harmony. Once there was a woman who lived here in the community, and she just had a problem. She was really afflicted with not being able to get along harmoniously with others. I don't think she meant it, and it was a cause of great, great suffering in her life. But there it was. And she was just always rubbing people the wrong way, saying the wrong thing, offending people, et cetera, et cetera. There, she lives in all of us a little bit, doesn't she? And once there was a big blow up, and she came to Swamiji and she said, Swamiji, aren't I in tune? And he simply said, attunement is harmony. And so it isn't, don't you like me? Aren't I a good person? None of those things. She was a good person and Swami loved her. But she hadn't been able to live in harmony. And so everything we do, and I'm not saying this is a corrective. I say it as an appreciation of the harmony that I see in this community. It's just people always trying. The other night, it was so dear. I was it was just getting dark, and I had to drop something off. And there, we share upstairs, downstairs with Sahaja and Gopal. And you know, Sahaja broke a bone in her foot. She's got this big cast on. And there she was limping out of the car. It was getting dark. And I said, where were you? And she said, oh, I made dinner, brought it over to Lisa, who had broken her foot too. But, but you know, it's just these little acts of cooperation and harmony. They build a fabric that people in the world at large don't even know the possibility of such a consciousness existing. And it's this fabric and all the different areas of the community, each one, I see it, that people are just going out of their way to find the integration and to find the way to arrive at a common good, mutual understanding. And I know in the early days of Ananda, Jyotish was the village manager and I was the secretary for the village council, and the role, baton has been ably passed on through many generations since then. But there's a picture that Ram Bhakta took of me when our son was probably 6 months old, and I had him over my lap, and I was sitting there at a typewriter typing up the village council minutes. But there was from the very beginning, it wasn't like we had to learn it, but there was this underlying understanding that if there wasn't a mutual acceptance of a decision, of a direction, that we hadn't found the right solution yet. And this has just grown and grown and grown, that there's an underlying common purpose that we should never take for granted. That's Master's presence in our community, that spirit of cooperation and harmony with which we live. And I never see people, well, I want this. I don't care how this affects everybody else. I've never heard anybody say that. Maybe in little ways, but I know people come away from our housing meetings where there's three houses available and 18 people want to get them. And people come away from those meetings inspired, because people sit there and they say, your need is greater than my need. And I remember even after the fire, when we lost everything we had, and a little bit of money, several thousand dollars, came in donations. And you know what we did with that money? We gave it to the people who decided they were leaving. They didn't want to help rebuild the community. They'd had it. It was a nice experience for a couple years, but I'm going to go and rebuild my life. And we knew what we had. We knew we had Master in this community. We knew what they were leaving. And we said, you need the money more than we do. And we gave them the money, not knowing. I remember that Christmas having $12 to our name and presents. We just bought stuff for chocolate chip cookies and made cookies and gave everybody a cookie. And that was Christmas. But it was fine. It was this underlying thing that we are cooperating for a higher purpose in life, for something that has meaning. And I think we all understand this on some level, and it's what gives us the strength and the clarity to continue to create this wonderful community. So another aspect of how we can grow deeper with Master through our life in the community is touched on in that sentence we read, the yogi fulfilling his duty. That's what we're doing. We're fulfilling whatever it may be. We're getting that lunch out on time. We're getting the temple set up. We're getting the market shelf stocked. We're fulfilling our worldly responsibilities, but with mental uninvolvement. And that's another thing that we see. It's just so beautiful that there isn't a sense of, but the market is more important than this, or everything is like, none of this belongs to us. This is God's land. This is Master. It's his body. This community is his body. And how can we say it's ours? You know, there's the story of St. Francis at the end of his life when he was dying. You know, in Italy, they have a big thing about body parts of saints. And so you go to a basilica and there's the finger of the tongue of St. Anthony. And there was just different body parts. And one time we went to one and they had a little reliquary and the label on it was, and I'm not making this up, Sante Misti, mixed saints. So it was just, they had a bunch of little body parts and, you know, they put them in there. And just like, it, In Italy, you know, the salad is insalata mista. So this is sante mista. Just a little aside. Once Diana and I, Diana is a dear, dear friend. And for those of you who, by some strange set of circumstances, don't know her, she's an African-American. She's of Black descent. And we were in Italy, and we went to a little fruit stand. And it was just a little peasant farmer there who was selling the vegetables. And I don't think he'd seen any Black people. And so he kind of looked at Diana and he looked at me. And he looked at Diana, he said, she speaks good Italian. So what country are you from? And she said, America. And then he could tell we were friends. And she said, well, what country is she from? And he said, she's from America too. And he got real puzzled. And he said, but you're Black and she's white and you're from the same country? And then Diana said, come insalata mista in America. It's like mixed salad in America. And the man just thought that was the funniest thing you ever heard. He was laughing and laughing, and he was calling all these other little his little peasants over, come insalata mista. So anyway, where were we? We were talking about non-involvement, that there isn't the sense that, I mean, we move houses, we move jobs, we switch cars, it's just all the sense that, except, well, of course, this is Dratish's table, but but there's just this sense that none of it belongs to me. And it's so beautiful because I'll walk around the community and, like, I'll see, I planted those tulips when I lived in that house. Or I remember when, you know, you just kind of realize you did it all. And a little point of personal identification, when you go to the Lahiri Mandir, you know, there's those flagstones that walk in. I remember laying those down one day at a Rajasi day. And it was the greatest day. I remember it so vividly. And it's not mine, but it's like, it's something, that uninvolvement that you just say, this belongs to everybody, but I get the chance to help create it. And it's just an incredible gift. And it brings us so much closer in our relationship with Master, that no house, no job, no car, it comes and it goes, but you remain. Your body of consciousness is what's underlying it all. And then expansion. If we can start to feel that it isn't separate little islands, this person, that person, this area of operation, that, but it's all linked in a spirit of cooperation, harmony, and uninvolvement. We had a wonderful experience over the Christmas holidays where we met with Peter Goering and Alex and Sita Bai and Latika and Jyotish and myself. And they gave a presentation to us about ideas for the build out of the community in the master plan. And they had this incredible display, which I hope we'll all get a chance to see it. It was a big map of the community, the land itself. And then they had, I don't know, maybe 8 transparent overlays. And one was the water sources, the wells and the streams. And they laid that down. And this was to try to plan where we're going to build the remaining part of the community. Then there was one that was existing roads and infrastructure, power lines and so forth. One was slopes. One was existing houses. And there probably were more that I'm forgetting. But it was just so remarkable because, you know, we began creating this community. And we had no idea what we were doing, where we were going to put this and put a garden. Oh, another one, Ananta, was existing gardens, so that we wouldn't build there. And and yet, when you saw it all laid out like that, you thought, oh my God, there really was a blueprint for this thing that we didn't know about. And Master said that the blueprints for the World Brotherhood communities, colonies, where are they? In the ether. And when I saw that all laid down like that, I thought, and we perceived it. And what is ether? I mean, it isn't what they give you when they give you that's not what he was talking about before they do surgery. Master describes ether as the conscious space that is between things And if that's not master, I don't know what is. The conscious space that is between and joins everything. And that's what's starting to emerge in this community that we live in. The conscious space that you watch the gardens at the Hermitage, just, oh my God, how did that happen? I mean, I know it's thousands of hours of labor, but it was a conscious, creative thing that just came down. And there it is. And now thousands of people are coming to see those gardens because we were able to perceive in that conscious space that is what's building this community. You know, there's that story of the famous Indian sculptor who was able to create these remarkable lifelike statues from marble. And so he was asked, how did you do it? And he said, well, if I wanted to carve a statue of an elephant, I just chip away everything that isn't an elephant. And so it is with our community. It's like we're chipping away everything that isn't harmony, cooperation, non-involvement, expansion and unity. And as we do all that, this World Brotherhood Colony is starting to emerge that is Master's consciousness manifested on Earth. And we're the channels, the plants are the channels, the little birds are the channels that are help bringing this about. And why is it important? Because people can read the autobiography, they can read Master's work, they can do his techniques, but to see it reflected to them in the physical world is an extraordinary thing. And people, I remember once I was walking up to the chapel and it was a very icy, snowy day and there was a woman there with a cast on her leg on crutches walking up those icy steps. And I said, oh, it must be so difficult for you to be here. And she said, I chose to be here. I broke my leg very badly. And the doctors were afraid, it told me they didn't think it would heal properly and they weren't sure if I would keep my leg. But I knew if I came to Ananda, it would heal. And then she wrote me back and it did. It did. And so we're creating something that is Master's presence. I shouldn't say we're creating. We are discovering that this community is Master's living presence that he gave to us. And the more we can live in that spirit, our every moment is an opportunity to deepen our experience of Master's presence. And then finally, love. Because Master, after all, was a premavatar, an incarnation of divine love. And the love and the concern that flows effortlessly, the prayers that are given unspoken for one another, it's a remarkable thing. And if we can, everything that we do, every step that we take, every vegetable we put into our little basket at the market, if we can just say, I'm doing this with love. I'm expressing love. I'm eating this food with love. And remember at the beginning of our class, on Monday, we were talking about a state of restful aloneness. Well, if we can walk in that restful aloneness, but not alone, with our hearts filled with Master's love. It's only, Master describes the relationship of the soul to God as the alone to the alone. And in a way it seems paradoxical because we've been talking about community. But really the final refinement of community life is to be in the aloneness of your own heart and look at all of this, the harmony, the cooperation, the non-attachment, all of it, and just say, Master, beyond all of these forms, I only see you. And it becomes so rich and so beautiful that way. And if we can live in our community with that level of awareness, it will be such a blessing, not only for ourselves, but for the whole world. Because as it said in that last page, as Master says, by stress on spiritual values, self-realization, a colony exemplifying world brotherhood is empowered to send inspiring vibrations far beyond its locale. Far beyond its locale. Melody just told us when we came in that there are people watching our Inner Renewal Week from Russia, from India, far beyond our locale. So just to close, I thank you so much for sharing this life. And those of you who don't live here, you are still a part of the community's movement in your heart, in your spirit. But we are swimming in a sea of spirit. And let us remember it. And as this community emerges more and more, Swami is talking more and more about imminent world challenges. Let us be so imbued in our life with the presence of Master that this light shines out and in the darkness is a beacon to people everywhere. God bless you.